Welcome to the Granary Church podcast. We're happy you could join us. For more information on the Granary Church, head to granary.org.au or follow our socials at the Granary Church.
Several people have said to me recently that some of them don't like using the word Christian because it's got so many connotations in our world at the moment and they're not always nice. And so tonight, I really want to look at that and want to hear what Tel said was really, really good then, that he actually became a friend of Jesus and a follower of Jesus. Jesus said something really crucial that we have to remember is that a lot of people will call him Lord. Oh, sorry, the youth are going out. There's a difference. And Jesus said a few very important things. He said that you'll know people by the fruit. In other words, what comes out of their life will tell you whether they like Jesus or not. Sometimes you meet people who aren't like Jesus, and maybe they haven't done what Tel said, they haven't become a friend of Jesus. Maybe they're just religious. That can happen. Jesus also said, not everyone who cries, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom, but only he who does the will of my Father. So we're looking at what that actually means. But I want to start off with something tonight to work out what he was actually talking about. Because, you know, the word Christian is actually only in the Bible three times. But the word disciple, which is better translated, as John Mark Comer says, as apprentice or learner, is in there 269 times. So we're going to have a look at that tonight. Christian three times. And it was started off like as a bit of a derogatory term, the word Christian, people making fun of them, and then people started to adopt it. That's all right. But it's a disciple is actually an apprentice. We don't hear that word very much, but it's someone who learn something. So, Ian, if you could put that other first slide up that I had tonight, see what it says. Okay. Can anyone read that? Well done, Isaac. Well done. You're smart. Other people could read it. Is anyone couldn't read that? Right. How did you know how to read that, Isaac? Going to give you a mic here. Actually, Caleb, could you come here, please? You're going to be my mic person. I have to take it to a few people. Isaac. You read that really, really quickly, like in a flash. How did you know how to do that?
I learned it in school, I guess.
Probably you did, yeah. Okay, that's good. That's good. Anyone else would add to that, how they think they're... There's no right answers. In my next session, there's no right answers. There's only answers. Okay, so everyone can feel free to answer. This is about you. Okay, can you put up the next slide, Ian? Who can read that? Oh, good. Someone down here. Yes, quickly. Someone raised their hand. I think it was Liz, was it? Liz raised her hand, yes. Can you read that, Liz?
Setting their journey.
Oh, beautiful. What does it mean, Liz?
Same as before.
Right, today's a beautiful day. How did you learn that, to speak like that? Are you French?
No.
No? How did you learn?
In high school.
Good. Well done.
And then living in the country.
You lived in the country. So where did you learn it most, at high school or in the country?
It was a process.
Yes.
But being immersed in it really helped.
Because who thought Liz's accent sounded really nice? It's really beautiful, the French accent. Well done. So you learned it at school. How did you learn it at school?
A lot of hard work.
Yes, it was a lot of hard work.
Yeah. 11.
You started in year 11?
Yeah.
Oh, well done. That's very good, actually. Well done. So then she went to France, and was it hard when you first got to France?
Yeah, but I'd gone to New Caledonia first.
Oh, okay. So you gradually...
Yeah, gradually.
Well done. Okay. Let's put up the next one, Ian. Who can read this? Aha. We've got someone just here. Pedro. What's it say?
Este é grande dia.
Who can just say that, just like that? That's very good, Pedro. What language is that?
Portuguese.
Mm-hmm. Pedro is from Brazil, where they speak Portuguese. Did you all know that? Okay, Pedro, how did you know how to read that?
Oh, it's my first language.
It's your first language, yes. So how did you learn it?
Well, like as Isaac said, at school, but probably before that, when you learn with your family, yes, they speak just by copy-pasting pretty much.
Can you say that again, please?
Este é grande dia.
Can you say the last word again?
Gia.
Gia. So D-I-A says Gia. So when you learn English, you had to learn how to pronounce letters differently. Is that right? Yeah. But when you look at that, does it just look normal to you?
Yeah.
Very good. Okay. What about this one?
I think there's Arvind there as well, somewhere in the back. He can speak Telugu as well. So it's Ee Roju Sundaramaina Roju.
We all knew that, didn't we? Yes. Okay. Say it again, Sam.
Ee Roju Sundaramaina Roju.
So how amazing is that, that he looks at that and he says that? We can't say that, and we look at that and we think it's a nice drawing. Actually, quite a difficult drawing if you went to... But did you grow up learning how to write that first or English first?
That one first.
Right. Yes. And then you had to learn an entirely different script, different letters, how to put different letters together. How amazing is that? And now he preaches here in English. That's really good. So well done, you. That's really, really good. Okay, that's it. There's probably more languages. I could have got Tel into that as well. There's a lot of languages here. But what I want to show you is this, is that everyone here it speaks like Isaac, all of we English-speaking people. Just looked at that first thing, we just knew exactly what it said. We also know how to say it. It's very simple for us. We all have the same accent and we pick up our accents really, really simply. So even if there's someone from New Zealand, people from other countries think New Zealanders and Australians sound the same, but we all know we don't. And people from England and America have varying accents from even around their country, and we can hear it. There's something about the way we learn language that is incredible, and we are just, it happens by being immersed in it. And even Liz, who speaks French, learnt it in school, but then she had to become fluent and to get that accent, which is a lovely accent. She had to be immersed in it. And so there's something about being a follower of Jesus or a learner or a student or an apprentice of Jesus that I think we've got wrong, and that is what that we think it's a static thing. It's like who I am. It's like my philosophy of life. And that's where I think we go wrong and we start to create a whole lot of rules to be our philosophy of life. But all these people here have shown us how we as human beings learn. Essential things. This is how we learn. We learn by being immersed in something. And when you hear a child start to speak a language, they don't always get the words quite right. And sometimes it's only their parents who really know what they're saying as they're saying their first words. And then gradually you start to work out what they're saying. And they learn essential words first when they're hungry or when they're sad or when they've hurt themselves. And then they go on to become people like you. When I say they, you were all once little children. And once you can't remember it, but once you were all stammering to say your words, and now you can put them together and you actually have the ability to learn other languages, but you can be immersed in it. So there's something about learning that happens when you are immersed in something. And so when you are called by Jesus, he's actually calling you, as Tel said, to be a follower or a learner. It's someone who's going on a learning trajectory for the rest of their life that will actually change their life. And so I've been reading a great book by John Mark Comer. It's his latest book called Practicing the Way. My son Josh has been saying to me for ages, you have to get this book and read it. And I go, yes, I will. I'm a very busy person. And then after a time, I thought I better get it. So I got it. And now I'm saying to everyone, you should read this book. So I'm saying to you all, you should read this book. So I'm going to tell you a few little things that John Mark is saying. And tonight, you know, Stu was saying at the start that we would all learn something new tonight. And I pray that tonight we will all learn something new. And maybe you've been stuck in a way of thinking that it's not quite the trajectory that God wants for you that's going to lead to the full blessing that he has to you. So John Mark says this, contrary to what many assume, Jesus did not invite people to convert to Christianity. He didn't even call people to become Christians. He invited people to apprentice under him into a whole new way of living, to be transformed. My thesis is simple. Transformation is possible if we are willing to arrange our lives around the practices, rhythms, and truths that Jesus himself did, which will open our lives to God's power to change. Said another way, we can be transformed if we are willing to apprentice ourselves to Jesus. That means you decide that you are going to follow, and follow in ancient times didn't just mean sort of walk along behind. It meant to learn the ways of someone, to learn how they live, to learn how they operate, to start to do what you're all talked about with languages, to think in a particular way, to be able to have the right accent, the right way of thinking, an entirely different way of living. And see, as I said, it's 269 times, I think I said, it's called an apprentice of Jesus, three times a Christian. Jesus called people to follow him. He didn't call people and say, come and be a Christian. He said, come and follow me. So he says in Matthew 9:9, it says, as Jesus went from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax collector's booth. Follow me, he told him. And Matthew got up and followed him. The next day, it says in John 1, the next day Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Finding Philip, he said to him, follow me. Matthew 4:19, and he said to them, follow me and I will make you fishers of men, to Simon and Andrew, Simon who became Peter. So he basically says to people, whoever wants to be my apprentice, whoever wants to follow me, whoever wants to learn how to flourish in life, whoever wants to discover how to really live life, how to really live life, how to live a life that is adventurous, how to live a life that is overcoming, how to live a life that you become you who you were meant to be, how to live a life that has meaning and purpose, how to live a life where you even discover why you were born and how to live that way. Anyone can follow him. It's not just about Gus getting into heaven, but him getting the fullness of life, like getting heaven into you. And it's not just about him becoming like us when he became a man. It's us becoming like him. There's this whole transformation process. When he was preaching one time, he said to the crowd, if any of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way, take up your cross daily and follow me. And follow me, which means learn from me. It doesn't just mean be something. It means to follow me, to go on an entire journey. It also says in John, Jesus spoke to the people once more and said, I am the light of the world. If you follow me, you won't have to walk in darkness because you will have the light that leads to life. Not if you just say, this is my philosophy of life, but if you follow me, you won't walk in darkness because you will have the light that leads to life if you follow him. Dallas Willard says this, the greatest issue facing the world today with all its heartbreaking needs is whether those who are identified as Christians will become disciples. It's a bit of a moment to think about that, isn't it? Will those who call themselves Christians actually become apprentices? Because some people can sit in churches, some people can even never go to church and say, I'm a Christian, but are they actually an active learner from Jesus? Students, apprentices, practitioners of Jesus Christ, steadily learning from him how to live the life of the kingdom of the heavens into every corner of human existence. John Mark says it this way, the greatest issue facing the world today is not climate change, surveillance, capitalism, human rights, or the spectre of nuclear war, as utterly crucial as all these are. But can you imagine how many of those problems would effectively be solved overnight if the billions of living humans who identify as Christians all became apprentices of Jesus? That means we all actually become like him in myriads of ways. If their driving aim was to approach every challenge as Jesus would. You see, Jesus is not looking for converts to Christianity. He's looking for apprentices in the kingdom of God. And which one are you? Because I would say a lot of the world has seen people who call themselves Christians but are not necessarily apprentices of the kingdom of God. And they think that's what Jesus is like, and it's actually not what he's like. And to discover what he's like, you have to go on a journey of following and learning. It says, the Bible uses the word walk in his ways. It says in Ephesians, walk in the way of love. Walk in the way of love. Follow Christ and walk in the way of love. It's one way it talks about it. It's talking about, when it says walking and following, it's actually a new way, a learning a new way of living. So it's like learning a new way of walking, which is learning a new way of living. So we've got a little video, Ian, that we're going to play a little bit of it now.
What kind of secret knowledge would a tightrope walker have to feel safe walking across the Grand Canyon? Anthony here for D News, and this Sunday on live television, Nick Walenda is going to tightrope walk across the Grand Canyon on a 1,500-foot wire, which is also 1,500 feet above the Colorado River, with no harness, no safety fail-safes. This is insane. But for Nick, it is only slightly more insane than a regular day, because Nick is a seventh-generation member of the Flying Walendas, which is a family of funambulists. Tightrope walkers, I'm just trying to sound smart. Last year, he pulled a similar stunt across Niagara Falls, and I've always wondered, what keeps these guys balanced? What are some of the natural forces they're working against here? So, the trick to walking safely on a tightrope is that you have to keep your center of mass directly over the rope to stay balanced. If you move even a little bit off center, the rope begins to oscillate. It swings back and forth like a pendulum. And obviously, as that happens, your body rocks more, causing more oscillation, and then you're dead at the bottom of a canyon. So, how do you keep your center of mass centered? You control inertia and acceleration and friction. When we stand on the ground, our feet are next to each other. We have a lot of lateral balance. It's hard to knock us over from the side. We need that because 2/3 of our total body mass is in the top third of our body. We're top heavy. In high wire walking, your feet are directly one in front of the other, so you're weak laterally. That stance, plus where our mass is, means that someone walking on a tightrope is essentially an inverted pyramid. So you need some side-to-side balance. That's why tightrope walkers carry long poles. Nick's is about 40 feet long. It helps to equalize and distribute that mass laterally.
Okay,
it looks like
that's
it's
enough
so
of tightrope walking. That's fascinating, isn't it? He says, how do they stay balanced? And I think, maybe they're not balanced anyway, to want to do that. Who would like, is anyone here thinking that would be a great idea? I'd love to have a go at that. No, that's probably why it's an uncommon sport. But the thing is, it's showing that this someone is learning a new way of walking. And what I love about the tightrope walking thing is that they're walking way above the world. And they have to learn how to do it. And it actually is possible to do it. And Jesus is calling you to a way of walking in life, of living, of following, that is above the situations of your life. It's above it. It's like a tightrope walk, and you get better and better at it till you, if you want to look at the rest of it, just do a little search on YouTube and you'll find it. And it just shows that you can learn new ways of walking physically, and Jesus is teaching you a new way of walking, which is a new way of living, which is comes from within. And it's related to the entire spiritual world around you that you can't see, that you are often victim to every day of your life. And he's teaching you to walk above it. And he's saying to you, will you follow me and I'll teach you a new way of walking, a new way of living, and you can do this in every day. And so there's this verse in Romans 3 that says, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And that glory of God actually means like living in the full favor of God. And that word for sin often means, it really comes from word hamartia, which means to miss the mark. And when it says we've missed the mark, it just means we haven't learned how to live in the fullness of the favor of God. And John Mark writes this about that. He says, what is the mark? Is it moral perfection? Is it a full ledger before the court of heaven? Is it not breaking any of the commands laid down in the Bible? What if the mark is union with God? What if it's the healing of your soul through participation in the inner life of the Trinity? What if it's adoption into the Father's new multi-ethnic family through the saving work of his son Jesus? What if it's becoming the kind of person is so pervaded by love, wisdom, and strength that we have developed the capacity to eventually rule with Jesus over the cosmos itself? Because as I was saying last week, when Jesus says, in this world you'll have trouble, but take heart, I've overcome the world, when he talks about the world, it comes from the word cosmos, which means all the spiritual powers that exists, not just the visible ones. That's what he's called us to. And John Mark describes it like this: to build a life of apprenticeship that is conducive to deep inner healing and overall transformation of body and soul. And you, to do this, decide to no longer live for yourself and to follow him. And he says, Jesus went to different people and said, follow me, like Andrew and Simon, and they just gave up their fishing and they followed him straight away. You might think, why would you do that? And he said, consider it like this. Say you want to be like a world-famous soccer player or an actor or a singer or an inventor or something that you would love to be. And you've tried and you can't make it, so you end up just with a job making chalk tops at Reading Cinema or Hoyts or wherever you were. And now she's youth pastor, so there you go. It's going well, Shelby. So you're doing that, and then one day someone walks up to you, and they are that world-famous soccer player or singer or whatever, and they say, follow me, and I will teach you free of charge how to do everything that I do. I will open up opportunities for you. You would drop the chalk tops and walk out. you would follow. That's what he's offering you. He's offering you how to fully live in life. And so I'm going to read you a passage that is from John 14, and it's fairly long. And what I want you to do is, as I read it, I want you to see what stands out to you when I read this passage. Now, there's no right or wrong answer here. You can be someone who has read the Bible before. You may have never read the Bible. There's no right or wrong answers. It's simply what stands out to you when you read this passage. You'll be up on the screen so you can follow along with me. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God and trust also in me. There is more than enough room in my Father's home. If this were not so, would I have told you that I'm going to prepare a place for you? When everything is ready, I will come and get you so that you will always be with me where I am. And you know the way to where I'm going. No, we don't know, Lord, Thomas said. We have no idea where you're going, so how can we know the way? Jesus told him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. If you had really known me, you would know who my Father is. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Philip said, Lord, show us the Father and we will be satisfied. Jesus replied, have I been with you all this time, Philip, and yet you still don't know who I am? Anyone who's seen me has seen the Father, so why are you asking me to show him to you? Don't you believe that I am the Father and the Father is in me? The words I speak are not my own, but my Father who lives in me does this work through me. Just believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or at least believe because of the work you've seen me do. I tell you the truth, anyone who believes in me will do the same works I have done and even greater works because I'm going to be with the Father. You can ask for anything in my name and I will do it so that the Son can bring glory to the Father. Yes, ask me anything in my name and I will do it. Okay, you've got 60 seconds to turn to someone near you and say what stood out to you. Remember, it's no right or wrong, it's just that stood out to you. So off you go. What stood out to you? Right, that's about 60 seconds. Hand up if the person next to you had exactly the same thought as you. Oh, that's amazing. That is actually very unusual. There you go. Okay, a couple of thoughts. What stood out? Someone can call out something to me. What stood out to you?
There's verse 12 where it says, I tell you the truth, anyone who believes in me will do the same works I've done, even greater.
That's amazing, isn't it? Anyone who believes in me, this is what he's calling you if you follow him. Anyone who believes in me will do the same works and greater. That actually is what a follower of Jesus looks like. Okay, anything else?
The disciples missed the point and they were so close to him.
Yes. He'll still persevere. That's such a great point. Yes, the disciples missed it. And yet they were so close to him, yet he didn't give up on them. Let's try again. That's right, we'll try again. Because he's taking them into an entirely new way of thinking. So if you feel like you've tried to get Jesus and it hasn't worked, don't give up because it's an entirely new way of thinking. Okay, so you see there's a lot of different things in there about this new way of living. We could actually spend the rest of the night looking at that. I'll tell you what stands out to me, and that's this. Verse 6, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. Following Jesus is the way to the Father. This might not, I want you to go home and think about this, okay? When you've read that verse, if you've ever read that verse, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, did you know it's about the way to the comfort, the love, the security of the Father? Did you know that's what it is? Did you know you're being restored from being, Jesus called, says, I won't leave you as orphans. I'm bringing you into the love of the Father. I'm bringing you into the protection of the Father, the security of the Father, the wisdom of the Father. And the profound thing about that passage is it starts off talking about living in a family. Jesus says, I'm creating a home and there's room for you. That's a family with a father. Then he says, if you follow me, I'll take you. You follow me and we'll go to the Father. He says, when you pray our Father. And then when you move into John 15, he says, abide in my love. The word abide means live. So it's all about where you're living in your heart. Where is your heart living today? He's saying your heart can live. If you follow me, you'll live in the love of the Father. The other night, I was putting my little grandson Silas to bed, and I'd read to him, and we turned the lights out, and I was about to walk out, and he said, can you stay, because I'm scared of the dark. And so I stayed, and he just put his hand just on my arm just to know that I was there. And the dark didn't go, but there was security there. Do you ever remember as a child being scared of the dark and you go into your mum and dad's bed or mum and dad come into your room and suddenly you're not afraid any longer because someone's there? It doesn't take the dark away, but it brings this security and the warmth of love of someone who is stronger than you, who has everything under control, and you know if they're there, everything is going to be okay. And Jesus is actually leading you into the love of the Father. He's leading you into the Father's house. I think that verse where it says, in my Father, I'm going to prepare a place for you, I think we often think that is heaven, and it will be heaven, but I think it means now as well, because when he says, I'm going to prepare a place for you, he's going to give his life for you and to rise again so that you can be filled with his Spirit and live right now in his presence. There's a place for you right now in the security of the Father's love. And Jesus said so many things. If you want to follow him, there's so many things. He said, look, the thief's purpose is to steal, kill, and destroy. My purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. I think that what he's doing is he's opening up the way for you to abide in him. It says in John 15, I want to finish off with this, as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. He takes you to the Father and you live in his love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide or live in my love, just as I've kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I've spoken to you that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. There's so much in this that I think is so amazing. And we're just going to pause on that now because it's time to finish up. But I just invite you all, just to close your eyes for a moment, wherever you are, just sitting there, we might get the worship team up. And we'll I just love you to reflect on the love of the Father for you. That you learn, as we heard with the languages right at the start, that everyone who could speak a different language learnt it with, on the whole, apart from one, learnt it without realizing that they were learning it. And when you abide in the Father's love, you learn his language without realizing that you're learning it. You become like him. You think like him. You dream like him. Your accent becomes like him, the accent of love for him and love for people. And that is the greatest need of the world, people who truly are loved, who live in that security of the Father. He takes away anxiety and fear and worry. He reminds you of his presence all the time with him. And Jesus says, I am the way. If you follow me, I will take you into this life where you live in the love and the power of the Father. He makes you new and he transforms you. And so as you just sit there with your eyes closed for a moment, just consider you and this Father who loves you. And you can ask him just to fill you with his presence now, so that you can be assured that he loves you and he's with you. You can ask him to fill you with his Spirit now, because his Spirit is life. And you can decide to follow him. You can decide to follow Jesus. You can say to him, I've tried to live life in a way that I think works best, but I look at you and I know that you have the words of eternal life. And you can say, I want to follow you. And then you decide every day to immerse yourself in him, to immerse yourself in his love, to immerse yourself in his grace and his forgiveness, to immerse yourself in his kindness and his power, to immerse yourself in his mercy and his compassion. And every time you slip, It's like being on that tightrope. He is actually there to catch you. And he lifts you up again. He says, I'm going to teach you how to walk in a new way. It's just like learning a language. So I pray for all of us as we come together tonight. May we know this love that is beyond all loves, this love that was expressed through Jesus' death on the cross for each one of us. The love was expressed in the power of the resurrection. As Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. If you see his death, as Tel was telling us about, you see him on the cross, you see a picture of the Father, Father's love for you. If you see the power of the resurrection, you see the picture of the Father's power for you, his protection for you. And you just simply say, I want to follow you. I want to follow you. You reach out your hand as a child and you say, help me to walk the way that you walk above the circumstances of this world, and help me to do, as we read in that chapter, even greater things than we've seen him do, which is outstanding. We thank you, Father. We come to you not understanding everything. We know we'll never understand everything, but we do know this one thing, that you are life. And in you is everything that we need. And may we follow you for the rest of our days. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to our Sunday podcast. If you enjoyed it, either subscribe or follow on the podcast app that you use to keep up to date on when our next Sunday podcast gets released. Have a safe and blessed week.